Good evening. I'd like to open us up with some prayer. Lord, we gather here tonight in order to understand your word and all of the dynamic intricacies of it. Lord, I pray that you soften our hardened hearts. We live in a world full of vengeance, spite, bitterness, and often it is easy to allow such horrors into our heart, as they are ailments contrary to your will and word. Lord, please forgive us our debts and give us a sanctifying grace that moves all of us here in attendance to forgive others in a radical and countercultural way. We pray that we not fall astray like the hypocrites and Pharisees of this world, but rather that we would submit to your will and word, that we would pursue you with all of our hearts and apply such a pursuit towards the discipline of forgiveness. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Alrighty, church. So tonight we're going to be diving into the Lord's Prayer found in Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15. If you'd love to follow along, that's on page 811 of the Bible provided. Alright, verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, church, what a gracious Lord we have, that he would give us instruction and wisdom on something as pivotal as prayer. The Christian depends on prayer not just for communication, but for comfort from our Lord. Comfort in a world that once again thrives on chaos, deceit, and enmity with the gospel of Christ. Tonight from Matthew 6, verse 12, I have two teachings to offer you. I pray that as we leave from the Lord's house tonight, that these teachings echo in your soul, that you lean on them, and that they provide you wisdom and insight. So let's begin with some points. Lord willing, I will provide a sound explanation. That was supposed to be funny. Point one, man is guilty of sin, yet we have a forgiving God. I'd like to repeat that one more time. Man is guilty of sin, yet we have a forgiving God. And then point two is to forgive the wrongdoings of others fervently. Forgive the wrongdoings of others fervently. So let's remember the context of our passage, as I'm sure some of you, like myself, forget what day of the month it is after looking at a calendar. So what a perfect time for the five W's. Who, what, when, where, and why. So who? Jesus and his disciples. That's a pretty simple one, although eventually a crowd formed, as it states in Matthew 7:29. What? So the what is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and now when? We know that it took place relatively early on in Jesus' earthly ministry, so probably around 28 to 30 AD. That's not super important, but I'm a nerd. And where? So according to Matthew 4:12, the sermon took place just south of Capernaum along the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus began his ministry. And why? Finally, some meat and potatoes. Why is this important? This period of time on the Mount, however long it was, and wherever it physically took place, ultimately was a time for Jesus to teach his disciples on the ways of what being a Christian looked like. Christ covered many teachings throughout the Sermon on the Mount, such as meekness, humility, peace, lust, anger, persecution, hypocrisy, and the center of our focus tonight, prayer. Now, narrowing back into the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, I would like to expound upon point one. I'm going to repeat these. So, man is guilty of sin, yet we have a forgiving God. man is guilty of sin, yet we have forgiven God. So in verse 12, we should immediately recognize the beauty that it contains. It provides an understanding of the holiness and glory of God as much as it provides instruction on prayer. Looking at staging verses 9 and 10, we see a structure that reveals four concepts. First, that the Lord is paternal, He is our Father. Second, that the Lord is holy. Third, that the Lord reigns over His kingdom. And fourth, that the Lord has a will. Verse 11 begins a supplication petition, and verse 12 follows in suit as it informs us to seek forgiveness from the Lord. So when we put it all together, we should remember the characteristics of God and His attributes as we approach Him in prayer. It should be clear at this point that we are subjects to God's holiness and His omnipotence. God is all-powerful and in control of all of His kingdom, yet we must also remember our condition. We are sinful and rebellious subjects by nature. Psalm 51:5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And also, Ephesians 2, verse 3 says, "We all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." These are just a few examples where the Lord's word reminds us of our sinful condition. With such an understanding, we see what verse 12 is claiming. All of us, as sinners, require forgiveness in order to fully commune with the Lord. So to be clear, this is a disclaimer, the Lord Jesus is not personally confessing His sin. No, He is sinless. Instead, Jesus is reminding His disciples to ask the Father for forgiveness when they sin. This reminds us of an important truth. The forgiveness of our sins is required for our justification in the eyes of God. A justification which can only be received through a perfect sacrifice, which by the Lord's providence is supplied through Christ alone. That's seen in Galatians 2:16, Romans 5:1-2, John 14:6, and so on and so forth. Dear Christian, I encourage you in that we have already been justified by Christ through faith alone. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Also, Romans 8, just a few chapters later, reminds us, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ." Now, sadly, we as justified sinners, we still sin. When we do, Jesus tells us to go to the Father and ask Him to forgive us of our sins. The regular confession of sin and request for forgiveness doesn't change our justification. No, by God's grace, we are in right standing with God. Colossians 2:14 tells us Jesus canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. The daily sinful struggles we share place a strain on our fellowship with the Lord. Thus, verse 12 should serve as guidance to approach the Lord in prayer and seek His forgiveness when we sin. He's so eager to do it. He's done it before, and He will do it again. This develops an ever-growing closeness with God, a closeness that is self-aware and not filled with hypocrisy and superficialities. Now, just a few verses prior, Jesus specifically warns His disciples in verses 5 through 7 to not pray like hypocrites and Gentiles, that is in Greek, the ethnikos, rather to be countercultural and intentional when approaching the Lord in prayer. Reflect upon your wrongdoings, dwell on how you can learn from them, and look to the Lord for deliverance, as it is mentioned in the following verse 13. Above all else, remember how the Lord has forgiven you and provided justification for you, a justification sweeter than milk and honey, one that blows my concept of mercy and grace away. Friend, if you're here tonight and you're not a believer and follower of Jesus, I urge you, I plead with you to understand that this justification is available to you. For a holy and just God cannot dwell in the presence of unrighteousness and sin. Instead, He has provided a path for forgiveness. This path rests upon the works of Christ alone. Christ condescended from heaven. He lived a perfect and sinless life. He was crucified on a cross for the remission of the sins of His people. As 1 Peter 2:24 states, "He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed." He was resurrected from the grave, ascended to heaven, and He will return again. I invite you to place your faith in Christ alone. as your sins will be fully forgiven. You will stand in right standing with the Lord of the universe and will be freed from the bondage of sin. Please, if you have any questions or any further assistance, find me. The gospel of Christ is available. Do not delay, do not hesitate, for the glory of God is a gift unlike any other gift that this world can offer. So how blessed are we to have such forgiveness granted to us when totally undeserving? Yet we roam this earth, oftentimes unwilling to relay a fraction of this merciful forgiveness. I am certainly guilty of such an infraction, yet I would argue that we are to repent of this despicable wickedness and to instead heed the word of Christ found in the second half of verse 12, which brings me to point number two, to forgive the wrongdoings of others eagerly. To forgive the wrongdoings of others eagerly. Now, I'm not sure about everyone else here in attendance, but forgiveness has personally been one of the hardest hurdles for me to overcome in my walk with the Lord. The very world we live in coaches such an opposing argument to what Jesus teaches here that entertainment corporations have indoctrinated whole generations of people groups to believe that vengeance and unwillingness to forgive is best. So what do we do here? Should we forgive or not forgive? Well, obviously, as God-fearing men and women, we should follow the guidance given by God's word. Listen to Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Or consider Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will not be forgiven. Oh, and sorry, misspoke there. that'd really put a damper on the mood. Yeah, forgive, and you will be forgiven. I took your spotlight there, Mike. The second portion of verse 12 says, as we also have forgiven our debtors, demands that fellowship with God should already practice forgiveness. I would argue that true believers, ones filled with the Holy Spirit, should bear such fruit of the Spirit that forgiveness should be common practice. Not even simply common practice, but a desire flame with eagerness and joy. It should be a reflex. It should be instantaneous. It shouldn't be second thought. I would even go a step further and argue that a proper understanding of our justification before God should demand that the church be filled with great joy and gratitude that we forgive willingly, without hesitation, without bitterness, and ultimately for the glory of God alone. So what does that look like? Is it as simple as stated? Well, due to the burdens we place on our communion with the Lord, at times it is unfortunately not. Nevertheless, I encourage you all that we should seek to repent and put off the habits of our old selves, and to remember that the forgiveness of others is essential. For how can we be redeemed and justified by the Lord of the universe, yet still walk in the ways of this world? We are to be countercultural and radical in this endeavor, not to conform to this world. Forgive the bullies at your workplace or at school. Forgive the individual that cut you off in traffic, probably a Nissan. Forgive the ones who persecute you. Forgive your family members when they commit transgression upon you, because you are no better. In Luke 23:34, the same word, I'm going to use the Greek word because I'm a nerd, aphemi, that is to forgive or disregard, is used when Christ pleads in prayer to the Father for those who are crucifying him, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Remember, friends, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as it states in Romans 3:23. So do not be like the unforgiving servant found in Matthew 18, who has been forgiven of all his debts, yet was unwilling to forgive his own debtors. Instead, forgive as the Lord of the universe has forgiven you. Forgive in a joyful and sanctifying way, regardless of the pain we are undergoing. For we are called to be set apart and to reflect Christ in all our ways. Thus we should pursue the Lord through the forgiveness of others. So in conclusion, the aim of this passage is not that the followers of Christ should regurgitate a simple prayer before every meal. No, rather that we should seek to remember the order of creation. We should reflect upon the gracious and holy God we serve, and should most importantly act like individuals called to the Lord's table. We should forgive like Christ without sinful anger or judgment, instead willingly and joyfully, not only because he has instructed us to do so, but because we desire to conform to his image, like in Romans 8:29. When you have a friend who you have done wrong, what do you do? Do you just ignore the transgression? No, you approach them and seek to reconcile and resolve the problems. You seek forgiveness. If you did it, if you seek forgiveness from them, if they did it. We should remember, I think I said that backwards. I don't know. Do you seek forgiveness regardless? So we should remember to approach the Lord in this same way. This is exactly what Christ is teaching. Seek to repair your relationship with the Lord and then apply this teaching to your relationship with others. What a glorious truth. We have been forgiven of all judgment through the atoning blood of Christ. Thus, go forth and forgive others boldly, knowing that the Lord of the universe has rained mercy on us by forgiving us of our iniquity. All right, let us close in prayer. Father, we are eternally grateful for all that you have done for us, not only forgiving us for our rebellion against your will, but for how you sustain our lives daily. You are in control of everything, and we thank you for not forsaking us, but rather for calling us to your fold and protecting us. Lord, we pray you would renew our minds this day and conform us into the image of Christ, that we would forgive others with a grateful heart like Christ Jesus forgave us, that we would be joyful and willing in this endeavor in order that we may fully glorify you and you alone. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church.